This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon, dude.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We're like 2 weeks out, I think, at this point. But so we're sitting here.
Yeah.
In the same place at the same time.
Again. I know. It's such a good feel, man. It's good to see your goofy self.
Home for the holidays, man. Yeah. It's always a blast.
How are things in Houston?
Houston's been great. Absolutely love it. But it's always fun to come back here to Jackson, see you. Look, we got to address something up front, out of the gate. Now, look, y'all know we've been doing some great holiday episodes, some great Christmas themes, or at least trying to kind of tie some great Christmas themes into these several weeks of shows as we gear up for the big day when the big fat man with the long white beard comes rumbling down that chimney.
Don't talk about your dad like that.
Hey, now. Anyway, so we're here actually again at my parents' house, and one thing you may notice this episode is there's going to be a little bit of background noise. Now, I know a lot of y'all like long for the days when we were at the shop and you heard the clinging and the clanging of the background noise.
Lighting of matches and, you know, just this and that.
Yeah,
the jingle of the bell.
Jingle of the bell.
Over the door.
Yeah. And the creepy people that would sometimes like come up like right behind us and all that kind of great stuff. It was great. So we don't have any of that. But this time we have probably the clanging of pots and pans as a nice meal is being prepared, and children in the background.
Hollering kids,
man. Like this is the sounds of the season.
It is.
Yeah.
It
so is. I think what better way to ring it in than that. But anyway, so give us a little bit of grace this week. Hopefully I'll still be able to enjoy the episode as we power through. Man, we've got a lot of great stuff that's going on. Of course, we have been talking about it for the last several weeks. We are building up towards our best of 2019. This is an annual series we do where we give kind of the spotlight to some folks around the pipe smoking world and around the industry that have been doing some great things, really showcasing their craft in an amazing way. And we've got some great categories too. This year, we've got a category for best pipe carver, best YouTube channel, best pipe manufacturer, best pipe tobacco blend, like an artisanal blend, best Tim tobacco, best tobacconist, best publication, be it web or print or social media or otherwise, best pipe, best tamp, best pipe case, and best pipe accessory, which we are kind of leaving open for you to choose whatever.
Yeah, it's
kind of
a catch-all. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, tamps have already been mentioned and cases have already been mentioned. So you think a little bit broadly, and we look forward to seeing what those nominations that you send are. We'd love to see those. And again, to send in your nominations, if you go to Facebook, you'll be able to see. You might have to go through kind of the images, and you'll see kind of the words pictured there for each category. Comment with the nominations that you have, or if you're on Twitter, look for the images and kind of our media, and then reply to those. And honestly, you know what? If you want to, you can just email us directly with those as well. And
yeah,
I'll
sure.
do my best to collect them. But we're doing our best here at you know, super high tech, ultra professional Country Squire Radio to do what we can with the wire and strings that we're working off of.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I will mention one more time, we mentioned this last week, but when we talk about tin tobaccos and pipes in particular, and then you know, and then with a focus on this kind of in the accessory realm as well, particularly the tampers, we're looking at new products, right? Not necessarily for pipe carvers or any of that kind of stuff or pipe manufacturers, but, you know, if there's a new pipe on the market or a new tinned tobacco or you know, artisanal pipe blend or something like that, those are kind of the things we're looking for there. Something new to 2019. So, yeah.
Very good. Yeah, no, it's going to be a good one, man. I always love the best of. You know, we always joke about like putting on the tux and getting.
Yeah, I know, right?
We should do like maybe we should have like an opening follies of some sort, like a monologue. Like, oh, it's been a great year this year for Brian Levine. I've heard that he's planning on getting out of bed sometime in 2025. I don't know. We'll come up with something.
That's a little too early.
Maybe we should have him host. Maybe he could be our celebrity guest host best of.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could. He's not going to be, though. But man, we've also got some amazing things going on. Of course, we're looking forward to A Lunt to Remember.
That's right.
Which we, you know, we'll continue to talk about as we go into next year in March 28th. Be sure to get the details. What's the website where people can actually get the details?
Yeah, if you go to lunting.org, you'll find A Lunt to Remember. It's got a link at the top of the page. And man, we are so excited about this. Of course, Saturday in March of this year. Hope for beautiful weather and all that, but it'll be at LaFleur's Bluff State Park, right next to the Country Squire here in Jackson. And so it's perfect, really. It's a perfect setup because they've got trails and hiking and outdoor activities. You can actually camp on site if you want to do that rather than staying in a hotel or Airbnb when you come to Jackson.
They got those cabins too, don't they?
I don't know if LaFleur's Bluff has cabins.
I feel like that. Isn't there like a cabins?
Roosevelt has cabins. Roosevelt is just to the east of town, and you can stay there if you'd like as well. Good camping opportunity there. But I don't know.
I thought they did. Maybe they don't have them anymore. But when I was a kid, I remember my aunts and uncles would come into town.
Over at LaFleur's Bluff.
Yeah.
Maze Lake.
Yeah. I mean, like when I say cabins, they were like condos. Like they weren't like they weren't that rough in it, so to speak.
Right.
But you were surrounded by trees. So.
Yeah, so you felt you could say it.
Yeah, there was something to be said there. But maybe I this was when I was little, so I could be completely misremembering where we were. It probably wasn't even Jackson.
Probably so. No, but it's going to be great. We're after it, we'll go on our lunch. It'll be a lot of fun activity out at the park, and then the after party at the Country Squire there. You know, as part of our 50th year anniversary celebration all next year, and so excited about that. We'll have live music provided by Ira Barker, you know, pipe smoker and lunter himself, and man, good food and strong drink and fellowship. We're just really fired up. So come join us, man. If you haven't been to our area or you know, to the Country Squire, it's a perfect time to make your pipe pilgrimage, and we'd just be really honored to have you.
And possibly a big announcement coming very soon about that.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Like I hope next week, but we'll find out. Anyway, so stay tuned for that, man. Before we die, we've got a great show, but like before we do that, we have got to acknowledge the amazing community of pipe smokers out there. Now, I mean, like literally all the pipe smokers out there, but at the moment, I want to really highlight the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, the International Pipe Club. Now, you know, for listeners know, we've got over on patreon.com/countrysquireradio. You can become a member of the Pipe Club. There's some benefits for doing so, some digital goods, some kind of highlighting of the names of those that are really, you know, helping to make this show happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, like one of the biggest benefits to being part of the club is access to the Squire Lounge, which is kind of the place where the members all congregate. And what an amazing community that goes on over there. And man, we are right here, like I think like a week away from Christmas, a little bit more than a week away from Christmas. And the pipe community, we really probably should have addressed this over the last couple of weeks, but now seems a good time to do so. There's a secret Santa that's been put together, not by us, but by the Pipe Club.
That's right. That's right. Man, our very own Andrew Lynn, who's been a member for a while and a good friend, he actually is putting together Secret Santa, a Secret Santa thing for our Pipe Club. And so if you are a member of the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, they're on Facebook. You know, we've had that going through, and the gifts are actually starting to roll in now. And so it'd just be really exciting to see, you know, as folks get their stuff and share that. We've got folks all over the world. So, man, fired up about that. And thank you so much, Andrew, for putting that together and the hard work that's gone into that. We're just continually amazed at the graciousness and friendliness of the pipe community. So, but thanks so much for everyone at the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club. We're here because of you.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I would love to, with the permission of the club, maybe I should really just push this out to the group rather than mention it on the show, but I'm gonna do both. You know, because you know how it is when you've got like a group, a community, it kind of, you know, you start it and then it kind of becomes its own thing. And, you know, I would love, as people are getting their gifts, open them, maybe taking some pictures, or if you do like an unboxing or a YouTube or something of that nature, like let us know. I tell you what, do this. Let us know. Send it in directly to the show, and we would love to share that out.
Yeah, show@countrysquireradio.com. Right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we would love to do that and just showcase that that great community that has just been coming together. And hey, if you'd love to join the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, the place to do it is patreon.com/countrysquireradio. All right, man. So like I mentioned, we got a fun one this week. This is a topic that is oft requested, and it's one that has been addressed. We've kind of done a series of these shows, but it's always something that continues to come up, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it is a series. It's like almost like a mini series or kind of a series of special episodes that I think a lot of folks would actually love to see become a regular series. The trick is we haven't quite figured out how to do it. However, thanks to the magic of the holiday season, we figured out a way to do it this week. And I'm talking specifically about our Art of Blending series. Now, the Art of Blending, of course, you know, for new listeners, you may not realize this, but sitting on the microphone right now, literally right across from me, is one of like the most celebrated tobacconists in the country, if not the world. And you gawk at that, but I think almost every single person listening knows that to be true. And so
I'm just some schmuck from the deep south, man. I don't know.
Well, listen, the amount of the wealth of experience and talent and taste that you bring to the craft is really just something that is almost universally celebrated. And it's something that for many up and coming tobacco enthusiasts or potential tobacconists, you know, that's they want a piece of that knowledge. So the Art of Blending is kind of an excuse to really tap into the mind of one of the most amazing tobacconists in the country. Yeah, I'm gonna keep on piling on, man. It's Christmas. I'm gonna keep on doing so.
We need to introduce Bo to some more tobacconists, is all I'm saying.
Well, that might be true. That might be true. But
it is interesting that you mentioned this. You know, and we do keep coming back to this topic because it's requested, and it's fascinating to me. I think when we started this, we didn't necessarily think of it as a ongoing series, but it's become that because you know, folks are interested and folks like to tinker with blending their own tobacco. It's always surprising to me when folks like making their own tobacco, but it really shouldn't be, because that's part of pipe smoking is the, you know, experimental, making it personalized and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, well, you know, folks are always on the hunt for their own blend, right? It's like, well, you know, yeah, I smoke this and this, but this is what I smoke, right? This is my blend. Like,
every single shop has that one blend.
Well, and they do, but even if it's a blend that's already on the market, like people just want to say, this is the tobacco I smoke.
That's
like,
right.
I'm a blank smoker. You know what I mean? And I get that. I really get that. So, you know, I think the interest in blending, folks looking for that particular, you know, unique blend or something that they can come up with that they can call their own. You know, it makes more sense the more you think about it, I guess. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about blending a holiday blend, right? So putting together something that, you know, is of interest, you know, to you this time of year. You know, we think of, you know, all the imagery from this time of year with twinkle lights and garlands and, you know, Christmas turkeys and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, well, you know what? What fits the holidays when you're talking about coming up with your own blend? So, you know, it just like any other blending experiment or, you know, attempt at making a new blend, you know, you're going to go back to things that, you know, are similar, using premium, interesting ingredients, maybe inspired by a particular type of thing. Maybe you come into your mind and you're just like, man, I really want an English blend, or maybe it's like, no, I'm really feeling something that's you know, a cherry and or raspberry and chocolate or something.
Right.
Or you just never know like what's going to inspire that thing. But you know, there's always you know, just whatever it is. If it's like, no, I'm feeling like a Virginia Perique, something that's on the market is not necessarily, you know, kind of piquing my interest. Let me see if I can make my own, or let me give a stab at that. And so the only difference with this time of year, of course, is that folks are motivated by different things, right? We have flavors that are very common during, you know, the Christmas season, the holiday season. We've got things like gingerbread, peppermint, you know, hazelnuts, cinnamon. You see pumpkin a lot this time of year, cranberry, you know, these more kind of distinctive flavors start to come out, right? Flavors that, you know, tend to be, you know, flavors that maybe you don't want every day, but that you kind of...
it puts you in the right mindset.
It puts you in the right mindset, the right mood, right? It's something about that. And if you think about holiday food, that is very common, right? I mean, think about, like, you're not eating, you know, but what did y'all eat for Thanksgiving this year?
Well, we had turkey, cranberry sauce, oyster cornbread dressing. We had green beans and pecan pie.
Are you eating oyster cornbread dressing any other time of year than
Absolutely
holidays?
Not. No, it is a York family tradition. It will happen every single Thanksgiving. It will likely never happen at not Thanksgiving.
At not Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, and it's like, at what other time of year do you go purchase and then bake or fry or smoke an entire turkey?
The day after Thanksgiving when they all go on sale.
Right. Okay, that's fair.
That's God's honest truth right
that's,
there.
That's fair. But I mean, you get what I'm hinting at here, right?
Exactly.
Like, there's a reason, you know, we're talking about, we only do these things at this time of year. It's an indulgence, right? It's a, it's a time to really celebrate. It's like, man, no, it's Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. We're going to bring out the big guns. You know, we're bringing out the fattened calf to, you know,
right.
to enjoy kind of thing. And so, I think there's a sense in which this is the time of year where folks treat themselves to something that's not common for them, something that's not, maybe it's a splurge, maybe it's a, not just in buying things, but even in flavor and in, all that. We eat a lot of cookies and, pies and all these kind of things.
The day where the English blend smoker's heart grew two times as large. they scummed it with the aromatic smokers and enjoyed peppermint for the first time.
Well, I think there's something to that, right? It's like, yeah, you want a little, not to rail on our English blend smokers. It's great for them.
No, you know? Not at all.
Someone that smokes a lot of Virginias, it's like, nah, I mean, this time of year, there's that, apple cinnamon is tugging on me, these cordial flavors or whatever.
Yeah, man, so, chocolate and vanilla in particular, and surprisingly, vanilla in particular is one that really speaks to me about the holidays in terms of like vanilla based blends.
It's interesting because those are common, but there's not a lot of great ones out there,
right?
You know, and so people are kind of searching for that indulgent indulging decadent. Vanilla blend, cherry vanilla. You see chocolate starting to make more of an appearance. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, any kind of chocolate. But again, these are things that you don't necessarily smoke throughout the year. And so, these might be places to go to when, experimenting with your own blends. And so think of things that combine well together if there is a good chocolate blend that you have out there, even a full-bodied chocolate blend like Two Friends English Chocolate, something like that, the Cornell and Deal Chocolate Cavendish, something like that mixed with a berry tobacco or something that has a vanilla in it. Cult Blood Red Moon any of your favorite cherry blends that are out there. There's just so many that are out there. These are things that you can kind of think of as complementary that go together, right? Apple and cinnamon, these nutty flavors, like hazelnut and things of that nature that combine well with either vanilla or pumpkin. These tobaccos are out there. Also, this is the time of year not just to use flavors that are distinctive, but also to use tobaccos that may be hard to get, right? And so, those tobaccos that maybe aren't readily available,
that you're going to have to spend a few extra dollars
You might have to spend a little bit extra on, but it's something that, we're going to treat ourselves and we're going to use, these ingredients to get after. There's a very popular artisan blender out there who uses a lot of esoterica products in his blend.
Huh. Yeah.
And it's actually brilliant when you think about it. It's like, no, I'm going to take these esoterica products. It's like, I'm going to open a bag that I could sell on eBay for $150, right? Which I don't encourage you to do. But, I could do that and mix it with some of my other, favorite flavors that are out there, be they, aromatic tobaccos or, orientals or, Latakia, Perique. And so I think there's something to that, right? Take them, think about how you would, consume these types of flavors, more broadly. Would you want a cinnamon bomb? Would you want a cherry bomb? Would you want something that is very, over the top in one area or another? And then use that in your proportioning as you're blending, you know, different tins, different blends, bulks that you might find out there that are interesting. And then, of course, there's always the opportunity to flavor some of these things yourself, right? And so we find that, you know, making a nice simple syrup, adding, you know, maybe a nice cherry extract or some cinnamon. You can actually use, when you're making some of these things, like cinnamon, you know, the cinnamon sticks kind of thing, and applying a warmth, warm syrup to warm tobacco, getting that stuff kind of nice and mixed up and letting it sit there for a while, you know, and then letting it dry out. These might be some things you would try with maybe a simple Burley or a simple Virginia or an unflavored Cavendish that I think would, you know, increase the benefit of it. And it's not something you want to do all the time. It's not something you want to do necessarily any time of year, but it's a special thing you can do here at Christmas time to enjoy, you know, just over these special, you know, few weeks. And typically the nice thing about these holiday blends, be it something from our shop or, you know, there's so many great shops out there that make, you know, blends this time of year and individuals that come up with their own, they typically smell really good. And so when you're around your friends, when you're around, you know, folks at the dinner table, or maybe y'all are sitting on the back patio, you know, after a nice meal, or watching a bowl game or something like that, your companions are really going to enjoy the fact that you've done this, because it's going to, you know, it'll make the room smell really, really nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So just some tips, just some thoughts about, you know, blending some of these unique flavors together. Treat yourself this this holiday season. It's not something that you might do all year round, but even for those English purists or those Virginia purists that are out there, you know, I would encourage you to have one pipe, that at least one pipe that you dedicate towards, you know, towards an aromatic tobacco, and have that pipe readily available this time of year for those treats. And I think the folks around you, you know, your family and friends that are around you here at the holidays will really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I think I've told this story before, but so I was in Austin for the Briarworks show that was going on there at one of the shops. And it was not Christmas, but I was just kind of feeling some holiday blends. So I actually picked up a some of the holiday special or holiday season from McClelland. I think that's what it's called, or what it used to be called.
Well, they had Christmas Cheer.
It wasn't that. It was,
and they
it was
had
Holiday
Spirit.
Spirit. That
holiday
was it.
Spirit. That, yeah, the Christmas Cheer was a Virginia Flake, and the... Holiday Spirit was the aromatic.
Well, so I picked up some of the Holiday Spirit, and again, not Christmas at all, but I popped that bad boy open, started smoking it in a room full of cigar smokers. They all stopped and
they lit
stared
up,
at
didn't
me.
They? Yeah.
And I mean, it was one of these things where it was a make or break moment, because I'm like, you know, I'm a new guy. I'm not from Austin. These guys don't know me from Adam. They're cigar smokers. And they all of a sudden got this intake of a smell that they are not accustomed to smelling. And so I didn't know if, like, the wave of judgment was about to come down. You know what I mean? That the hammer was about to come down. But in fact, they're like, oh, that's amazing. That takes me back to childhood. Like, everybody
that's cool,
instantly connected the smells to memory. And I think there's something mixed up with...
You could be that guy for the people around you.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's such a need right now for some custom holiday blends. Of course, you know, Country Squire has some great holiday blends that you've come up with.
Yep. Yep. Figgy Pudding and Cordial Friends, which are now, as of this recording, out of stock. So you'll have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
But they're a hit every year. We're very grateful for that. But,
all the more reason to get experimental, man. I think it's great, great best practices. And if y'all end up coming up with some fun holiday blends, let us know. You know, I think it's great that you mentioned it's good to have a good aromatic pipe on hand. You know, we always recommend having a great a pipe that you can kind of use in that capacity. For example, from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's correct. And so this is a great opportunity to, you know, recommend a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, because, you know, it might not be a flavor that you want to ghost one of your briar pipes with, but you can get into Missouri Meerschaum at a very inexpensive price. And it's a pipe that you won't, you know, have to worry about it because of the value and the affordability of the pipe. So another good thing about a lot of Missouri Meerschaum pipes, like the Legend, for instance, which is a great medium-sized bowl, is that they have the option of using a filter. Now, for heavily cased aromatic pipes, Sometimes filters are really help, or I'm sorry, pipe tobaccos. Sometimes filters are really helpful in these situations because these tobaccos tend to have a lot more moisture than other tobaccos. So, you know, as you're puffing the pipe, that filter in the Missouri Meerschaum is going to absorb a lot of that extra moisture. It's going to create a cooler, a drier smoke where your focus on the smoke is more about the flavor and less about the heat or the discomfort on your tongue. And so just a really good opportunity there to smoke, you know, heavily cased aromatic tobaccos out of your favorite size Missouri Meerschaum. So pick one up today. It's a great thing to have on hand. And matter of fact, you ought to even get one for your friends as well.
Absolutely. And big thanks to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, we've got a great pipe question this week. It actually was teed up last week, pseudo on accident, but also, you know, kind of organically, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say we planned it. We planned it?
No, did we plan it?
We planned it. Yeah, sure. That's exactly what happened. Pipe question, of course, from Chris Van Roo, who wrote in last week, and we've kind of upgraded it to the pipe question this week. For those that were not here for that or didn't hear it, here's the question. If you are buying a new pipe and deciding whether to smoke Virginias or Englishes in it, how do you decide? I tend to dedicate pipes to one or the other, as I think many people do. Great question for that, especially for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, great question. And this was, you know, again, a part of his listener feedback that we thought would be good for this segment. So, you know, we've talked about bowl shapes before, the actual chamber of the bowl and how that affects the smoke. It's been a long time since we've discussed some of those things. It might be good to circle back around to that at some point. But I typically, and I think a lot of other pipe smokers, it seems anyway, from my experience, tend to smoke Virginias at a more narrow, maybe taller chamber, but typically more narrow chamber. And then English blends, it seemed to be more popular out of a wider bowl. Now, why is that? I don't know. I go back and forth on this because it's like, is this just a coincidence kind of thing, or you know what gives here? You know. When Latakia is cut and the tobacco leaves that tend to go with Latakia English blends, you know, they tend to be kind of coarse cut. You don't see a lot of ribbon cut, you know, Latakia blends out there. They are out there. I mean, but it just seems like the ones that pop up in my mind as I'm thinking about Latakia, they tend to be a little chunkier with their, you know, with their cut of leaf. And so, you know, a wider bowl suits that, I think, a little better. And so, you know, something to keep in mind there, if you're going to dedicate one type of pipe to a certain kind of tobacco, that wider bowl might be a good fit for your English blend. And also the Virginia tobacco being, you know, drier, you know, needing that more focused air, you know, to help keep those tobacco leaves lit and all that kind of stuff, seems to do better in a more narrow bowl. And so, and I will say there's kind of a caveat to that, that, you know, these flake tobaccos, which a lot of Virginias are, you know, I have found work a little better in a somewhat wider bowl, maybe not a super wide bowl, but somewhat wider, just to give those flakes opportunity to expand and the tobacco to breathe. But again, that's personal preference. If it's for me, and if I was in your position dedicating a pipe to one type of tobacco or another, Virginia or English, and I'd had absolutely no, you know, the only thing I was deciding on was the type of tobacco, I would dedicate the wider mouth bowl to an English blend. And yeah, anyway, I hope that helps.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, great question, Chris. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, be sure to send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quickfire with the Squire.
All right, man, quickfire questions.
Ow!
There it is. Okay, so here's the thing about quickfire questions this week. This might end us up on the naughty list a little bit.
Naughty list?
I think so, because like this we're about to go into, we're going to touch on personal, some personal issues, some triggering topics for some people. We're talking about pets getting stockings.
This is triggering?
I think so. Well, depending on how we answer this question, it's going to be like, so here's what we got. We got a list of pets. So the question is, do they get a stocking? Yes or no?
Oh.
And if so, do they get a full human-sized stocking or do they get a mini stocking?
Okay, I see where you're going. So when you said, I was thinking like, you know, pineapple on pizza kind of triggering, like is that a
Why
thing?
Would you even say that? Of course pineapple belongs on pizza. Anybody else that says otherwise, no, I'm sorry, triggered.
Exactly, right? Like, I actually like pineapple on pizza too.
I know, because you are a breathing, living human being with a conscience and a soul. I understand this. I never doubted that.
Oh, man. Bring on the hate.
It became triggering without even trying.
But the thing about this is like, well, you know those, I'm going to step on any vegan friends we have, but you know those PETA signs that are show a spectrum of animals, right?
Oh, sure.
And it starts with like a rodent or something, and it goes up to a horse, and it's like, where do you draw the line?
That's essentially what we're doing here.
Yeah, it's like, where do you draw the line on what becomes food? It's like, well, is the... You know, the sheep is food, but not the horse kind of thing. How do you draw that line? I don't know.
Have you seen the chicken documentary?
I have not.
Do you
not.
Know what I'm talking about, though?
I have not. I don't know if I want to.
No. So I did. I have not seen this either, but I was being informed about this yesterday because we were just talking about like a similar conversation.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a documentary on Netflix. I think it's called Chicken People. And all right. So, you know, on Thanksgiving, after the big parade, there's the best in show dog competition, like the Purina dog competition.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We always have it on in the background while you finish it up cooking and serving up the food and such.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, and I did not realize this, there is a chicken competition of a same degree of intensity, and not to like determine what chicken is the best one to eat, but like what one looks the best, and they lift up the tail
the most beautiful.
Yeah. And
the
like
most beautiful chicken.
I would imagine trained as well, but again, I have not seen this documentary.
I need to see that.
Yeah. And so it's very interesting because I was saying when they were talking, I was like, okay, well, I mean, like, it's not quite best in show because, you know, obviously the winner's probably the one that gets eaten, right? And they're like, oh no, you do not eat this chicken. I was like, oh, interesting.
The sire chicken that they like, people pay to like have their chickens mate with that chicken.
I don't even think that's the situation either. Like I mean, maybe though, I guess that happens with Best in Show as well.
That's funny.
Anyway. All right. So here we go. Pet stockings. Yes or no. And if yes, full or mini.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
About to make the people with the fish mad, but anyway, go ahead.
Dog.
Yes. Stocking. Full size stocking.
You go full size.
Yeah.
Yes, stocking, not full size. Mini. They have smaller feet. That's going to be a common thing. No, but we
I like
do.
That.
Isley, our dog does get Santa Claus visits Isley, and Santa Paws, if you will.
Oh my god!
Visits Isley
so bad.
No, her stocking is like off to the side, and it's like a former tree ornament. Do y'all actually have a full size for Penny?
We actually don't have stockings, but
this
is the first year that we will get stockings.
Okay.
because we have a daughter.
Okay.
And so Penny will get a stocking.
All right, cool. Next one, cat stocking, yes or no?
I would never have a cat, but if I did and I was close to it like my dog, yes.
Yeah.
And I guess it would get a full size stocking.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We have had two cats. They have both gotten stockings. They one of them was a mitten, like a mini mitten that Starbucks wants to use to put their little Starbucks gift cards in. And the other one was also formerly a ornament. Again, this is going to be a common thing.
That is hilarious. I don't know who sent these questions in, but this is nuts.
Yeah. Thank you. I made up this one. This is me redeeming that terrible Pokemon one. All right. Next up, parrot. Yes or no to the stocking?
No. I'm not going to give a parrot a stocking.
Listen, man, parrot people are super into their parrots. Like the bird people, you don't want to make the bird people mad, man.
Well, yeah, well, you're right. I mean, it's kind of like making the pipe people mad.
That's,
like,
well, you know what? That's true.
Yeah.
That is actually pretty true.
But I just don't, know. I'm not going to give a parrot a stocking.
I think that, because I think you hit the nail on the head with the cat. Like, I don't have one. I would actually like a parrot. But I can imagine that, like, you know, I've seen these videos when researching parrots, like, you know.
Yeah, they are interesting. Parrots are fascinating.
And they've got little personalities and everything. So, yeah, I'd say the parrot can have a stocking, but it's not going to be a full one. You could fit, if you could fit the animal inside the stocking, we got a problem. And that may continue on as a theme. All right, we're keep going.
Go ahead.
We're going to keep going. Fish.
No stocking for the fish.
Absolutely not.
I think for here on out, I'm out.
Okay.
Stocking.
Well, yeah.
But go ahead.
You may change your mind.
We don't want to, you know, upset the the theme.
No fish stocking. All right, next up, snake.
I'm not going to give a snake a stocking.
They don't have feet.
I don't want...
They don't have feet.
What would a snake do with a stocking?
Exactly.
Except curl up in it and then scare the crap out of you. Maybe when you stick your hand in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like a snake is not getting in my house.
Maybe no stockings if there's a snake in the house, because even if it doesn't have a stocking, it'll get in your kids and then it'll bite your kid. All right, so no stocking.
I hate snakes.
All right, next one, goat.
Okay, I might buy my goat a stocking.
I thought you might.
If I had a pet goat, I might buy it a stocking. The thing about the goat would probably eat the stocking.
It would eat the stocking. Exactly. Which is why you got to get a full-size stocking, because the stocking is in itself...
The meal.
The meal.
Right.
Yeah. So full-size stocking for the goat. Yep. And then finally, hamster.
I'm not... I thought your point was to redeem yourself from the Digimon.
I guarantee people are enjoying this way more than they enjoyed that one. And
this just blows my mind. I'm not going to give a hamster a stocking.
You're not going to give a hamster a stocking.
I'm not. I just don't. But
you'll give a hamster some pipe tobacco.
A stocking, like when your hamster dies after owning it for like a month and a half.
If that.
The stocking is what you bury the hamster in, yeah, in the backyard.
Well, that kind of see, there you go. You found use for it. So you gave it a...
All right. All right, so maybe the hamster gets a small stocking, right, and then it doubles for its casket.
Don't hamsters like claw on socks that like come through the thing? That's like a thing.
I don't own a hamster.
I've never owned a hamster either.
Aren't they just rodents that are kind of furry?
Well, we have to be grateful for them, because otherwise we wouldn't know what to do with certain pipe tobacco. And you could stuff their stocking with said, that should have, you know what, we should have done a holiday themed.
You know what, the hamster, I changed my mind, the hamster gets a full-size stocking.
Full-size stocking. Filled to the brim with, go check out those episodes. All right, well, there you go. That was quick fire questions. Yes, it was absolutely a madhouse, but I thought it'd be a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Absolutely. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, especially holiday themed, send those in. We got one more Christmas episode coming your way. And yeah, we'd love to do some fun ones. Be sure to send those in. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, show@countrysquireradio.com.
If your hamster gets a stocking, I want to know about it.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, we've got some great listener feedback. So a couple weeks back, we did an episode on tracking and packing. And if I can pull back the curtain just a little bit, this year, for reasons, we decided to open up tracking and packing. Like in the last couple of years, it's been kind of very much curated by one John David Cole. And then with, you know, seasonal commentary by me, you know, traditional Country Squire radio.
Yeah,
stuff.
And a vintage. Yeah.
This year we decided to really open it up, and we kind of opened it up a little last minute, thinking like, okay, well, we'll get a few things in. Well, they don't stop coming, man. Like
we got a lot of responses.
We got a ton of responses.
It was actually pretty fun. Yeah.
Like we could easily like just like store all this away, age it, if you will. and put it up in the cellar for next year. But honestly, this is just too good. So we got to kind of keep the party going here. So this is listener feedback on that episode. People adding on to what they're using. And I just found this just classic. Virginia Piper tweets in. He says he scatters his pipes amongst the clothes in his suitcase.
Well,
which is fairly embarrassing.
You know that, well, I mean, it can be, but I will say that's what I do when I travel with liquor bottles. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm traveling and there's a bottle of precious liquid in my suitcase, I'm going to wrap it in like a cardigan or a, you know, even a pair of blue jeans. Like, I'm going to shove it in a boot. Like, it's going to go in my suitcase wrapped in something that is padded.
So, I mean, like, that's... I mean, it's disorganized, but it's protected.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right, so this is great. This is, like, a common theme, and we addressed it. We actually concluded that episode talking about people doing this, but this seems to be the common response to the most embarrassing ways they, you know, they track and pack. They bring their pipes with them. So this one's coming in from Daily Puffer. He says, tucked away a lit pipe in the trouser pocket while rushing to a meeting and later finding out that an errant lit amber burnt a hole through the back pocket. Come on now.
Oh, man.
That might be an award for like the
rookie
most embarrassing
mistake.
Situation.
Yeah. I know. Who was it? Was it Commodore or someone that said, like, I have to be really careful sitting down.
Yeah, I think it was Commodore, yeah.
Yeah, man, like, talk about taking that to the next level.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Ed, a member of the Squire Scallywags, by the way, he says, cargo pant pockets. He said, fanny pack or a small dry bag. Yeah, the fanny pack.
The thing is, like, if you've ever been to the Chicago Pipe Show,
Fanny Pack Central.
You have seen pipe smoking fanny packs. Like you have seen them, you have experienced them in all of their glory.
This should be like a fanny pack like lineup. Like this should be like a, you know how they do the models, the runway models with all the latest fashions?
Oh yeah.
Pipe smokers with fanny
packs. Oh, we should do that at Chicago. That'd yeah, that'd be precious.
It's runoff. All right, this next one is from Eric. He says, "I used to carry around my traveling pipes and accessories in child school pencil box." That's actually kind of a cool, especially if it's a classic one.
Yeah, now I have seen that done actually pretty well. Yeah, if it's a cool looking one, or even a simple one that is modern, made of plastic and all that, but you know, just isn't, you know, too childish looking, unless that's your thing. Yeah, those can work pretty well.
We also have this is great. Brian Levine removes all non-natural methods of his most embarrassing way of carrying his pipe. He says, "I can often it can often be with a cleaner behind my ear, like a carpenter with a pencil."
Ooh,
I think he's lying.
Well, I mean, if you put a pipe cleaner behind your ear, and matter of fact, I think one of our other listeners said that last go around as well. Although we didn't get to that.
I'm going to need some pictures of this, Brian.
Well, no, I don't think he's talking about his pipe behind his ear.
Oh, I thought he meant like a pipe and the cleaner behind his ear.
I think he's just talking about the cleaner.
Oh, just the cleaner. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Okay.
I think you can get away with that.
I take it back, Brian. I apologize. Yeah.
Well, man, you can still ridicule him. That's fine.
Well, I mean, I will say this. If anyone could get away with like figuring out the physics of tucking a pipe behind your ear, it'd be Brian Levine.
It'd be Brian.
That's how he got that doctor.
And he could get away with it. Yeah. Yeah.
We also got Preston. He says, "In a clear handbag that people use to get through airport security faster."
Oh yeah.
What are those things?
Where
it like just showcases everything. So
they even make those for like toiletries and stuff where,
that's super smart actually.
Yeah. I mean, you can see right through it that way. TSA agent, you know, knows,
it's going to look weird when it goes through the scanner.
They know immediately you're not trying to hide anything. Right. Like it's just wide open and they're like, okay, move along.
I got to get one of those for my, every single time I travel with recording equipment, mm-hmm. every single time there's a note in there like we had to bust this open and start messing around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because it, I mean, I will admit it looks weird. Like mm-hmm. microphones look like bombs. The stands and everything in the case look like a gun case.
Some kind of weapon or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. like it's, I get it.
Yeah.
I do get it.
No, and that's good. We're glad they're doing their job.
Yeah. It's
still a pain.
I would not mind I don't think they make clear stuff, and I mean
that probably not for something that big.
No, and it would be a trade off too, because then it's like a security risk just from somebody stealing your stuff. Like, oh, is that a $500 microphone? Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's cool. My luggage.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Well, look, continue to send those in. Who knows? Maybe we'll continue to share those. Hey, we also got a great iTunes review in this week. This one's coming from 2Gene2. What did 2Gene2 have to say?
He says, "On iTunes, the hosts have great chemistry and are entertaining and occasionally informative."
Wow, that's an honest review right
there. That is, man. Occasionally is about right. No, that's good. The show is fun to listen to, and you can learn a lot about pipes, tobacco, and pipe culture. Man, 2Gene2, thank you so much for listening, man. We're glad to have fun with you, and man, glad you enjoy the show.
Absolutely, man. Look, we are just days away. I guess it's like a week and a half away. We got some days coming up here between now and Christmas, and we got one more big Christmas episode coming your way, and we're really excited for it. Y'all have been amazing all year long. You know, we hope that you've enjoyed these awesome these seasonal episodes. I always love, like, the Christmas season, the holiday season in general. It's like a gift to content creators.
Yeah.
Because like you get the excuse to like revisit some old topics, but through like a seasonal theme.
Yeah.
You get so much fun out of it. Who knew, John David, that we would do an Ewok Star Wars holiday special for Thanksgiving?
I don't think anyone knew, and I think a lot of people wish they know, but wish they didn't know.
If I had told you that 6 years ago when I pitched you this concept, what would you have said?
I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah. So it wouldn't have changed really your response then either. Same response. Okay, good. Well, hey, man, this has been a lot of fun and some great best practices. You know, for those of you who do actually kind of try your hand at blending some pipe tobacco specifically with kind of a holiday seasoning to it, by all means, let us know. You know, we'd love to know how that goes for you. We'd love to hear your stories. You know, I always love encouraging folks to, if you do that, you know, blog about it, make it available, share it on YouTube, like, you know, share those experiences. You know, a lot of folks, especially in kind of, for example, the YouTube pipe community, and I know it's kind of dangerous because we don't exist in that world. And honestly, we haven't existed in that world for a year. But I do think that like one of the things that is a really great, opportunity for content creators is kind of sharing that blending journey, not just their pipe journey, but that blending journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may be a faux pas to record yourself blending and put it on the internet, but you know what? I'd say here at Country Squire Radio, we support that and we would love to see what you come up with. So
you got to be careful. You might become part of a meme.
Well, you don't want to be caught blending, John David. All right, man, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.